Hey guys, Scott here with a remote episode of Boop, and I'm out in the path around the lake near where I live. Come here, dog. Walking the dog. And so I needed to let everybody know there's some format changes coming to the show. And they have mostly to do with my schedule. Things have been crazy, and to make room for some of the additional projects I've been handed, I've had to push some things around, and Boop keeps getting thrown around like the least favorite son or something in a family, and I don't intend for that to happen. So I thought what I'd do is get a little supplementary episode up with me huffing and puffing as I briskly walk around the lake and talk about this PlayStation 4 codename Neo thing real quick. It's kind of a big deal. Even if it doesn't succeed wildly or doesn't perform to whatever standard Sony hopes it will in terms of an upgrade path. But it's clear to me that they're trying to establish a new model for the console gaming world. Dog, seriously. Sorry. and that's a big deal. Like, what it feels like to me is they're saying, look, in order to compete in the weirdest time for platforms ever, phones, which, you know, people are constantly doing upgrades on every year, and also that, you know, has had a huge impact on the world of gaming. Mobile games have disrupted everything. And Sony and Microsoft and everybody's going to have to try to, you know, sort of figure out their place in all this. Or not their place, but their new mode. And come here, we'll go down by the ducks and then we can sit for a second. There you go. And I think what Sony's decided to do is just create a stopgap measure or an in-between step, which is really interesting. Like, basically they've said, all right, look, we've got, you know, we're 3 years in on this new hardware, or it's not new anymore, on the current hardware, and more, perhaps faster than ever in the history of console cycles, PCs and other sort of better technologies, in terms of their ability to keep up with the times, have lapped them. They just got kind of left behind. Microsoft as well with the Xbox One. And again, I don't mean any of this is a negative thing. This is how it's always gone. And everyone's always sort of been okay with it. But I think people getting used to things like, you know, yearly cycles on upgrading their mobile devices, and that experience getting better and better by the, seems like by the minute. And also, you know, the PC world and Steam having taken on, pardon the pun, a lot of Steam, and people buying a lot of games on Steam and it becoming a platform of, you know, serious reckoning. And then VR coming into the space, there's just a lot of sort of, I don't know, elasticity to the market. And a lot of people demanding your eyeballs. And if the traditional console makers who used to be able to rely on a 6 to 10 year console lifespan and have that thing just sit under your TV and keep making games for it, they have to change that. And they have to do it in a way that doesn't completely disrupt their own business, but it also, you know, continues to give them some sort of edge in that market. And I believe that's what Sony's attempting to do. Now, whether they succeed at it or not is completely up in the air. Like, who knows, right? I feel like they have a chance. And the reason I think they have a chance is they're being very careful about the upgrade path. If you buy whatever they end up calling it, PlayStation 4K or PlayStation PS4K or whatever they call it, they won't call it a PS5. But when that thing launches in the fall or so, they've made it very clear in the rules that they've published or that have come out since yesterday that if you're a developer and you're making a game, it has to work on both consoles. It can take advantage of the better hardware, but it can't not work on the lower hardware. In other words, you might get a slightly better frame rate, better textures, better resolution, or whatever, potentially better upscaled resolution to 4K output or something. But the bottom line is those two devices have to play the game, and one of them can't run it crappy and the other one incredibly well. There has to be some parity, right? And so on the one hand, you want the advantages of that, of the upgrade, of the actual, you know, better GPU, better CPU, and better RAM, and whatever else they're putting in there, without alienating the previous owners who have no plans to upgrade or aren't buying for the first time. That's a tricky tightrope to walk, man. Because part of the reason you get upgraded hardware is because you want the hottest, latest, greatest thing. But if the developers are being shoestringed in such a way that they have to have this kind of parity across the devices, you know, you can't have a game that's only made for the older one and one that's only made for the newer one. Those are the rules. So if that's their rules, they're kind of hamstringing it a little bit. I'm not saying it's the wrong move. I actually think it probably is the right move. But nonetheless, it changes things, or at least affects things. So that's interesting to me. If this goes well for them, then it establishes a new norm. So imagine, I mean, they're trying to carve out a way out of this. And maybe they'll do it, because it's very interesting, and it seems more palatable now than it has in the past. Like, you can't even imagine something like this in the 16-bit or 32-bit era, can you? The Xbox, well, I mean, you know what? I'll give you an example where they kind of tried to, and it didn't work. Sega's attempt to go from Genesis to Genesis 2 to Sega CD to Sega CD 2 to CDX to 32X. You remember all those upgrades? Those were all hardware upgrades. But they were presented as accessory upgrades that meant you could only play 32X games on a 32X. And you could only play Sega CD games if you had the CD attachment. And none of those succeeded wildly. I don't know if you noticed. Did not go that well for them. Well, why? Well, they were sold as peripherals, not as core system updates. The core system update is an entirely new box, and that is what this appears to be. This codename Neo thing is an entirely different box, but it is 100% tied to the ecosystem of the previous box, so that you don't have the disparity on titles. So Uncharted 2 is going to look amazing on a PS4. Uncharted 4 rather, and Uncharted 4 will probably look incredible, or potentially incredible, or maybe only incrementally better on a PlayStation 4.2, or whatever they call it. But they can't be separate games. They can't be totally separate code bases. They have to be. Oh, my dog's about to jump in the water. Are you going in? Go ahead, you weirdo. Anyway, and then what they do is they turn around, and I've seen this theory floating a few places, but they turn around and they, in another 3 years, another 4 years, whatever it is, they cycle to a PlayStation 5, and that's your jumping off point. That's a, you know, this other one's like a half measure, PlayStation 5 is like a full measure, and you say, okay, well, all the titles are backwards compatible because we're still on some, you know, high-end PC architecture, and it's easy to develop for and go our backwards compatibility on. So all the old games are going to work on your PlayStation 5, but the PlayStation 5 represents a new class of hardware, and now you're only, you know, new games are PlayStation 5 only on there. I suppose you could buy the transitional PS4 titles that might come out in the between time and play them on there, but PS5 would be where it's at, and that's where your new games would be. That makes perfect sense to me, and it's also about the same length of the cycle, and you're really only asking people, potentially, for a single upgrade in the middle that might be about the same cost as you were going to pay for a 4K Blu-ray drive anyway, if you planned on doing that, to support your fancy new 4K TV or something. I mean, it actually kind of makes sense, and I think Microsoft will probably do something similar. I'd be surprised if they're not working on an idea. And if anybody's suited to carve out a new upgrade path concept, it's Microsoft. They've been doing this for decades with their operating system and on PCs. And, you know, they have some experience with that. So they also have a lot of experience with backwards compatibility. Windows continues to be the most backwards compatible piece of software on the planet. And I'm grateful for that. It's caused some problems and some security issues over time, but man, I'm glad they do. I mean, why do I think my Steam library is so rad, and why do I spend money in there? Well, it's because I know they're going to keep running no matter what computer hard drive I upgrade to, or what computer hardware I upgrade to, or what new GPU I buy, or whatever. And this doesn't get them anywhere near that in terms of, you know, Sony or Microsoft, if indeed Microsoft's working on something. This doesn't get them anywhere near the level of upgrade ease or the same path that PCs have carved out over the last 20 years or whatever. But it's a little piece of it, isn't it? It's pretty fascinating. And I'm jazzed about it. I don't even know if I'm getting one, but I'm excited about the idea. I haven't even mentioned the fact that VR will probably be the biggest benefactor here. Again, you can't, their rules state, if you're making a VR game for PSVR, that experience needs to work and not make you sick, and all their other rules about VR, that needs to be true across, again, both devices. There has to be parity there. But that doesn't mean that, you know, Eve Valkyrie on PlayStation 4 might have slightly less textures than the texture quality or resolution of those textures in the Neo edition of the device. Same frame rate, same, you know, basic experience, but with just some, you know, some visual tweaks. If indeed that's worth it for people to upgrade. And that's the other thing. We have no idea what that price is at this point. I'm going to assume it's not going to be more than the current model. That would be dumb not to, I think. But it might be a loss leader at that point. I don't know how much that new hardware costs or if a 4K Blu-ray drive, assuming it's in there, they're going to ding you on price. But if it's like $350 to $400, they're in a pretty good space. It's interesting though, isn't it? I mean, who else has done this and gotten away with it? Probably the only console / portable device maker I can think of that in the past has tried this sort of thing or currently does now is Nintendo, right? With the GBA, GBA SPs, Game Boy. Well, when did they did other stuff like that. I guess I had a DSi for I can't tell you what reason. I don't remember getting anything out of it that I didn't already get on the DS. And I don't mean just the slim DS design that came out after the big bulky one. I mean like actual hardware changes, screen sizes, the XL model, that kind of stuff. It's the only example I can think of. Maybe Sony's own Vita has something in it, right? I don't remember if the new Vitas do or not. I know they have a lesser screen, so in a way they took things away. Or not in a way, they literally took things away on that. But there are no other, I can't think of any other examples of it. It wasn't like a accessory, and accessories never sell well. Although Sony's also hoping that their VR accessory will, because that's in a different, in their mind and in my mind, it's in a different category. It's a device that should do well. I think they're going to do extremely well with PSVR. And selling that as a bundle in the fall with the new box, with its higher fidelity, genuinely interesting package, isn't it? Even if you've already got a PlayStation at home, you might say to yourself, well, we got this 4K TV for Christmas. We really ought to, you know, take advantage of that. Let's get a 4K console. And then let's get VR while we're at it. And for the whole thing, we're in, you know, $500 or whatever it is. I don't know what it'll be total. I just think that's how they're playing their cards. And now I'm more anxious than ever to hear what Microsoft has up their sleeve, because you know they either already have an answer for this or they're going to have one. My thinking is they've got one going and they just got beat to the press on it. I don't know what that looks like. There have been hints about them before that they're potentially would be an upgrade path for owners of their current gen Xbox One. But if I had to make a bet here, I'll bet they wait until June to do it at E3. They're not going to do it before then. Or if they do, it'll be perceived, well, maybe it doesn't matter if it's perceived this way or not, but it'll look like a reaction to Sony. And that's, you know, perception's everything. But that may only matter to us who are super into this stuff. I don't know, if anything, it justifies the position that PC players have taken for decades, which is, yeah, we want to have things get better and cooler and stuff like that. The problem PC players don't tell you about is that if they have an old video card and a new video game makes it crawl, they feel forced to go spend $399 on a new NVIDIA GPU. And if anything, this is a more sustainable, appetizing solution for people that might want to go that route on a PlayStation 4. So I'm actually pretty bullish on it. on the idea in general. Be really fascinating to see how it works out. Thank you guys for listening. I just wanted to get this out. Let's call it a special on the road edition of the PlayStation Neo discussion. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear some of your calls. So keep that stuff coming. Cause I would like to talk more. Boopshow@gmail.com is the best place to send your feedback. I'd be happy to read those on the show. And a quick mention of our friends over at Squarespace, squarespace.com, helping you make better websites more simply and easily than ever. All the tools you ever need. This dog here could probably do it if she sat still long enough, because those templates and tools are just that powerful. She wanted to make a fan site for burying bones. How to bury a bone and look good doing it, for example, .com. She could get the domain there. She could get all the tools she needs. It looks good on mobile as well as desktop. Great responsive design. And the templates and tools are just so easy to use, yet it's a big, powerful, standards compliant, traffic ready site. She could even sell bones, her own homemade bones on there, I guess. Anyway, if you want to go make your own bone website, now's your chance. Go to squarespace.com, use the free trial, no credit card required. And when you're done, just use the code BOOP. That'll get you 10% off your order at squarespace.com. Thanks everybody for listening. I'll be back soon with a whole new episode. Until then, take it easy.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.